Hallelujah. That's why my heart is filled with praise. If you love him, let's just say it. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Lord, we love you. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor right now. We thank you that your name is so beautiful. We thank you for the emotion that you've given us today, Lord, that we feel who you are. We feel your presence. We sense your nearness right now. We thank you that as we have declared with our mouths that Christ was made unto us wisdom from God, Lord, that you have shown yourself to be near to us. I thank you for the hearts of everyone here today that's been touched by your presence right now. And we ask that right now that you would extend that presence, Lord, not only to our hearts, but also speak to our spirits today. Speak to our spirits. Speak to our mind tonight. Today, Lord, let us be clear. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us. We thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that we open ourselves up for you to reveal revelation to us today. Thank you for revelation knowledge flowing in our hearts and minds right now. We thank you that you would also grant to us wisdom from God, Lord, that we might apply your revelation to our lives, Lord, that we might clearly see what we need to do. And we thank you, Lord, that you would also grant us with courage and strength to stand on your word, Lord God. Stand on the revelation of God that we might inherit the promises and experience the manifestation of all who you are. So we thank you, Lord God, that as we do, we'll be very quick to impart to others, to preach this good news. And we thank you that your name will be glorified in all the earth. And it all begins with the fact that we love you. We love you, Lord, today, all because you've cared for us in the special way that you have, that you've seen us by faith to this day, Lord, and you caused us, Lord, to rise up and be blessed. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. What a beautiful day. Amen. Whenever God is doing anything, he always begins by the Spirit. God begins by the Spirit, and he reveals himself in ways that sometimes aren't comprehended with flesh and blood. So God's first move is always spiritual in nature. Whenever God determines that he's going to do something, he does it spiritually first. He does it spiritually. We catch on to it in a natural sense. And when we catch on to it in a natural sense, then it's our responsibility when we have caught on to what God is doing is to grab that revelation and stand on it by faith. When we stand on it by faith, the series of things that happens is that once you begin to stand, there's an adversary who wants to keep the will of God from coming to pass. So he sets himself against you, and not just against you, but against your faith. Because your faith is the power to bring things to pass. And so the enemy comes and he sets himself against the revealed will of God because he wants that revealed will of God to be stopped. And if he can stop your faith, he can stop the move of God. Because God has chosen to use man to bring his will to pass. So you hear people say, you waiting on God, but God's waiting on you. Anybody heard that? Raise your hand for just a second. If you haven't heard it, you heard it today. So you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. What does that mean? Is he waiting that he's waiting for us to do everything? No, it means he's waiting for us to catch the revelation. He's waiting for us to grasp the revelation, the things that God is revealing. The Bible says this, that when Cain and Abel had their dispute, which is basically Cain not liking something Abel did, It said that when Abel was killed, his blood spoke from the ground. How did it speak? It spoke because of the faith that he had. Even after his body was gone, his faith was still speaking. So whether you understand it or not, this church is the result of somebody's faith. And it wasn't mine. Edward, you know who it was. Madeline, you know who it was. This church was born from somebody else's faith. And it wasn't me. What do you mean? My mother. My mother's faith actually brought this church to pass. How can that be? She's not here. Because even when she's gone, her faith is still speaking. See, you are not restricted by your flesh and blood body. We sometimes believe that our restrictions are found here. But God never begins here. God always starts by the Spirit. So because he starts by the Spirit, you can't stop things by flesh, what God has set in motion by Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? What this means is that when God does something spiritual in you, even the people who think they have power over you can't stop what God has. You know why? Because it's not flesh. It's Spirit. Somebody going to take this ride with me today. I think, amen. Somebody's going to take the ride. Amen. Come on. Are y'all hearts filled with praise today? Yes. All right, then let's hear it. Let me make sure that that's what's going on here. When God starts something, he starts it by the Spirit. He brings it to pass through us in the natural. But the step between God bringing it to pass and him speaking it is whether we catch the revelation and begin to walk in the wisdom of God. That's the step in between. God's will is already revealed in his word. His word reveals what his will is. Now the difference, the thing that stands between God's will and God's will coming to pass is whether or not who he spoke to gets the revelation. Are y'all with me? The step in between, the thing in the middle, is whether or not I grasp the revelation that God is speaking. Because he's always speaking. Jesus is walking around the countryside 33 and a half years. Groups of people following him. And he has to say, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. In other words, I'm speaking the revelation, but the only people that are going to get it are the ones that are hearing what the Spirit is saying. Everybody's hearing my words, but everybody's not hearing the Spirit. Amen? Everybody's hearing the words, but everybody's not hearing the Spirit. When I was an unbeliever, people told me about God, but I couldn't grasp because I was hearing the words, but I wasn't hearing the Spirit. And the people you're trying to minister to, the reason they're not receiving it is because they're hearing your words, but they're not hearing the Spirit speaking. But when you know that God has anointed you, and when you know God's will is that none should perish, then you will speak his word despite the fact that they say they don't want to hear it. You'll just become more clever in how you say it. Amen? We're talking about wisdom today. We're talking about the wisdom of God. Amen? So turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 30, where we left off last week. When we said that there's a couple of things that we're laying a foundation on, and I'm going to keep talking about wisdom until God tells me not to do it. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. When you get there, say amen. Now, I'm going to share something with you. Today, I'm going to preach the longest message I have ever preached. All right, I'm playing with y'all, because some of y'all got really scared. I wish y'all could have saw the looks on some of y'all faces like, this is church, I don't want to look funny, but I know he didn't just say he's going to preach the longest message he ever preached. All right, I'm having fun with y'all. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, say, I'm in Christ Jesus. Who became for us wisdom from God. Jesus became wisdom from God. Amen. And righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Now, in churches all over the globe, everybody preaches to you that Christ has been made righteousness. Everybody preaches to you that Christ has been made sanctification. Everybody tells you you've been redeemed. Am I right or wrong? How many people told you Christ was made to you wisdom from God? Thank you. But it's the Word. We can't just walk with part of the Word. We have to get all of the Word. The church has been made wise by God, but the church does not believe that because the church hasn't, they've heard the words, but they haven't grasped the revelation of it. The church, we went to a conference and the pastor told us, he said this. He read a statistic. He said that over a certain window of time, I believe it was over a five-year window of time, that this organization did a measure of denominational churches in the United States. And what he said was that 40% of the denominational churches in the United States had had less than 10 visitors in a year. Okay? 80% of the church, I think it was 80 or 75, Timmy. 80% of the churches had had less of the 40, of this 40%. 80% of those churches had less than one visitor for the year. And he gave statistics about church closures and numbers of churches closing and this different types of thing. He's going through all of this. He told us, he said, I bought three churches, bought their buildings because they were shutting down. Why would that happen? Because we believe in righteousness. We believe in sanctification. But we don't always believe in the wisdom of God. We don't always believe that God has really granted to us wisdom from him. And that we move not on the basis of what the world says is wisdom, but really what the Word says is wisdom. When we grasp what the Word of God is telling us, there's a wisdom that will answer every issue. Wisdom that will answer every challenge. Wisdom that will answer every problem. That's why it was so important for us today to think about the song that even though I have problems, the joy of the Lord is still my strength. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of my knowledge. When I begin to fear the Lord and accept the Lord and reverence the Lord for who he is, he will become the beginning of my knowledge. Now, when my knowledge starts on human knowledge and I try to add God on top of it, eventually my human knowledge is going to collapse because the weight of God's glory is going to break it down. And then sometimes when that happens, when that collapse happens, we think God abandoned us. It's not that God abandoned us. It's just that your foundation in which you tried to lay God on top of couldn't handle the glory of God. So there are Christians who had the wisdom of God in operation, but were using human wisdom. And when the blessings of God started to pour out, their lives collapsed under the blessing of God. I won't say a name. Think about different athletes who got saved. Who had millions of dollars. and they got saved and they gave their life to the Lord, but they're still living on a worldly foundation. Then when God's blessing comes on them and God starts exalting them, it collapses. Why? Because the foundation can't handle the glory. You know what the glory means? It means the weight of God. The weight of God got so big they can't handle it because they're not built on Him. And it happens to us too. I would like to say I am, but I'm not the absolute best husband in the world. Not the worst. See, they're laughing over here. I'm not the worst, but I'm not the best. And I can confess I'm not the best because I'm still building my foundation. Okay? I got foundation to build. I got work to do because I didn't start off with all the right understandings about what it means to be a husband. So there are times when the weight of God's glory starts hitting that spot where I'm still got my own personal foundation and it starts going down. And now I got to go to work and repair. But I can't repair in my own strength because you keep trying to rebuild what you built before. All you're going to get is what you got. So I got to rebuild on God's foundation. Now, this passage says that Christ was made unto us wisdom. Today's Valentine's Day, right? Oh, that was a weak yes. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I want to point out a couple of things in this passage. And we're talking about wisdom from God. When you get there, say, praise the Lord for Valentine's. Now, Valentine's Day has become very commercial, right? Y'all can talk to me, right? It's become very commercial. It's become very a lot of things. But the key behind it is designed to be a day of expression of love. Now, when we think about love, the world knows love in one or two formats. It knows brotherly love. My brother, I love you, bro. And it knows relational love, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever we want to call it. Amen? Now, how many of you know there's love beyond those two loves? See, there's the love of God. There's the love that God has put in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad, placed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has put a love in our hearts that is not human in nature, but it is directly from God. Just like wisdom that comes on us, there's a love that comes on us from God that God has put in us. Now that love looks like this. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. The absence of love in our lives reduces us. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. I can be doing all the right things and not doing them from love, and it still doesn't profit me anything. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. That's a hard order, isn't it? Amen. Yes, it is. All right, verse 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I want you to go to chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I want to focus on this right now. I want to focus on the first two words, which are what? Let me hear everybody say it. What? Pursue love. See, most of us have believed love is supposed to pursue us. But the word says you have to pursue love. You got to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love. Chase after. Go hard after. Love. Go after it. Now, what love are we talking about? Talking about the agape love. Talking about the love that was described in 1 Corinthians 13. We got to pursue being patient. We got to pursue being kind. We got to pursue thinking no evil. We have to pursue those things. You know why? Because they will run away from you if you don't. If you don't pursue them, they will go away from you. Why? Because they don't agree with your human physical nature. They're the nature of God that we are wrestling to bring our flesh under subjection to allow the love of God to pour out of us, because the Holy Spirit's already poured it in. But he can't get it out if we don't do one of two things. Number one, pull our flesh down so that the word of God and the love of God can be released, or get so much love in you that it overflows. It's only those two ways. But the world system is not going to reinforce your love. It's not going to reinforce your dedication to love. It's not going to reinforce God's love in your heart. So yesterday, I'm walking into the auto shop. I come out and I'm walking, and there's a young man walking towards me. And I see him, and I'm about to say something to him. And then my mind says, stop that foolishness. You always trying to talk to somebody. You don't know him. And so I looked at him and I said, you know how the conversation happens, all in the moment, right? So I'm looking at him. I said, okay, if he looks at me, then I'll say something to him. So he didn't look at me. So I kept on walking. And this is how good the Holy Ghost is. And when I say good, I mean I got a spanking. A few minutes later, I get a text. And the text is a picture of me walking past the young man that he took. Am I telling the truth or what? I walk past him, he takes a selfie with his face in the corner and me walking away. You say, well, how did you know him? No, he knew her. He knew Maya and recognized me. So I'm having this battle about talking to him. I ignore the Holy Spirit. I hear the revelation. But I didn't execute the revelation, so there's no wisdom. When you let the moment of revelation pass, you miss the opportunity to walk in wisdom. So there's all these opportunities for us to walk in the love and the revelation of the love of God. And we sometimes walk right past the opportunities because when the Spirit speaks, we don't grasp the revelation in the moment. So he sent Maya a text. I just saw your dad. She's like, this is so random. Do you know him? I'm like, no, I don't know him. I don't know how he knows me. What? Amazing. But we're not dealing with natural stuff. God's doing stuff spiritually that you're going to have to catch revelation to be able to even operate in wisdom. You got to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, which means you have to stay in a sense of a piece of sensitivity so that you can hear when the Spirit speaks. And when he speaks, you have to be willing to move. Remember what we said prayer is? Talking with God. Y'all can say it with me. Talking with God, listening to God, and moving with God. That's what prayer is. It's the ongoing conversation. So when we're looking at this and we're seeing all these aspects of love, you are always going to get put into positions where you can love or you cannot love. But the revelation is God wants you to love. How we grasp the revelation will speak to what kind of manifestation of God we experience. See, had I said something to him, had I said what the Holy Spirit said to say to him, obviously the Holy Spirit was letting me know you passed an opportunity. So if I had moved on the opportunity, there would have probably been some form of manifestation that we would have been able to talk about as a testimony rather than a testimony about me getting spanked by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11. I might just make this the longest message I ever preached. Y'all still ain't laughing about that. Pastor better stop playing. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 30. Proverbs 11:30. When you get there, say, I'm ready to listen to the Spirit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. Part of the wisdom of God is the ability to win souls. So what are we talking about when we say win souls? We're talking about fulfilling the call of Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Well, how do you do that? You need the wisdom of God. You got to have the wisdom of God. But he that wins souls will be wise. Turn the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel 12 and 3. Go to the right. To the right. We're talking about wisdom today, amen? Daniel 12 and 3 says this, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. When we turn people to righteousness, we shine. We shine forever. You shine naturally and you shine spiritually. When you help turn people to righteousness, what does that mean? When you help give people redemption, when you help lead people to the Lord, when you help people discover that they have a purpose and that God has created them for his own design, when you help people to experience the life of God, when you lead people to a place where they're able to hear God for themselves, they can hear the voice of God. They can talk to God. There's no greater joy to hear than when somebody comes and says, Pastor, I was praying and God spoke to me. God's, I was reading the word and it spoke to me. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is revealed when we fulfill God's purpose. When we fulfill God's purpose, there's a joy that comes, and we shine because we have led people into God's presence. We've led people into the Spirit of God. And the world right now is filled with darkness because many people are trying to get away from the light rather than be drawn to the light. But he that wins souls is wise. Listen, if we were able to win our neighborhoods, would we not have safer neighborhoods? If we were able to win our neighborhoods, would we not have happier neighborhoods? Would we not have more joy-filled neighborhoods? Would we not have certain things? Why is it dark? Darkness is the absence of light. So when the light, who's been set on a hill, puts a cover over itself to cover it up, there's no wisdom because we're not receiving the revelation that God has made us the light of the world. If we receive the revelation and grasp it that you are the light, not the pastor's the light, we are the light together. We are all the light. We are all important. We all have a value to God, and that value is revealed in God's light being revealed in us. Oh man, y'all with me or not? Oh man, Lord Jesus. Woo, man. I'm going back to my notes, man. Praise the Lord. Man, all right. Woo, Lord. All right, Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter 1. I'm talking about wisdom today. He that wins souls is wise. He that wins souls is wise. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. When you get there, say, Christ was made to me wisdom. Mm-hmm. All right. Christ was made to you wisdom, and he that wins souls is wise. So what does that mean? I'm a soul winner, right? If Christ's been made to me wisdom, and he that wins souls is wise, it means I'm a soul winner. Remember, revelation comes, you got to grab it. If you need to say, by faith, I'm a soul winner. Come on, I want to hear y'all say something. Come on. Thank you. Are y'all uncomfortable by this conversation? All right, all right, all right. Amen. Verse 17. Then Jesus said to men, Jesus said to them, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. In other words, if you come, I will make you become. Amen? I will make you become. What does that mean? Become means what you were is not what you are. You became something else. I was an unbeliever and I became a Christian. I'm no longer an unbeliever. Now I am a Christian. He said, if you follow me, follow after me, and I will make you become a fisher of men. Anybody who's ever been scared to tell somebody about Jesus, you need to recognize God will make you become a fisher of men if you follow after him. If you follow after him, he will make you to become. He will make you wise. He will make you so wise. This is what it said in one passage. It said that Jesus spoke to them and they could not resist his words. Why? Because the wisdom of God was flowing. Christ was already made to me wisdom from God. Christ was already made to me the wisdom of God. And because he's been made the wisdom of God, I don't care who I'm talking to. If I grasp the revelation in the moment, God will give me the words to say. God will give you the right words to say. You don't have to memorize a line. All the men in the room. How many of y'all ever try to memorize a line to talk to ladies? You got a foot? Oh, Lord. He's selling lines. Don't buy them. Lines don't work. They don't work. The only way a line works, if your line is, I ain't got no lines. That's the only way a line works. You know why? Because nobody wants to hear the canned. I heard that before. As a matter of fact, the guy was standing exactly the same way when he told me that last time. That stuff that don't work. So what works? What works? I need a new mic. You guys can't hear me? It's cutting in and out?
Okay, praise the Lord.
Lines don't work. If they don't work in human relationships, why would they work in spiritual relationships? So you can't memorize a line, even if it's a passage. You can't memorize a line to talk to somebody. It got to come from here. It's got to come from here. You have to become a fisher of men and not just go fishing. There's people who go fishing, and then there's fishermen. Amen? Follow me. Look at it. Follow me. Follow me. And I will make you become fishers of men. And look what they did. They immediately left their nets and followed him. They immediately left their nets and followed him. They left what they were doing and they started following Jesus. They just left it and started following. Now, the next day, did they become? When did they become? They became progressively along the way. He took them, sent them out two by two, and they went out. And they laid hands and they cast out demons and they came back. They said, Lord, we can't believe it. Man, we went out there and even the demons were subject to us in your name. He said, don't get excited about that. I saw Satan fall like a star out of heaven. Don't get all shook up. Of course that's going to happen. You're following me. I'm making you fishers of men. See, our expectation has to rise because, see, we believe that some people can never be saved. Let's face it. We believe there are some people that can't be saved. There's some people we just marked off the list and we just, I'm not even trying. Praise the Lord. Third the charm. There's some people that we just marked off the list. I'm not even praying for them no more. Why? Because, you know, no. There is nobody off the list. There's nobody off the list. Because, see, I was one of those guys that people would mark off the list. I was that one who you go to tell them, Jesus loves you. Matter of fact, Jesus don't exist. He don't love me. And guess what? I don't love you. Get out of my face. One of those. So if God loves me, how much does he love everybody else? The highest form of love is to bring redemption to somebody's life. That's the highest form of love. The highest form of love is to reconnect somebody to the Father through Jesus. The highest form of love. The highest form of love. But the problem is, if we attain to the highest form of love, but we're building it on a human foundation, then the weight of the glory of the Lord when it's revealed is going to cause us to crack. See, if we built our foundation of winning people on our own stuff, on us, then what's going to happen is some point along the line, it's going to fall under our weight. And we won't be able to handle it.
That's why God says, begin with loving him. Go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We're talking about wisdom today. Matthew 22, we're going to begin at verse 36. Matthew 22, beginning at verse 36 through 30, excuse me, 36 through 40. Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I am a fisher of men. Verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, the context of this is the Sadducees have sent a lawyer to talk to Jesus. And they sent this lawyer to talk to Jesus after the Pharisees had got chumped by Jesus. They came and tried to trip him up, and he talked to them. He shut them. The passage says he shut them down. So the Sadducees went and said, we'll talk to him. So they sent a lawyer. This young lawyer comes to Jesus, and what does he say? He's going to test Jesus by asking Jesus, good teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 35 says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. So the lawyer is going to ask Jesus, a carpenter, about the law. A lawyer is going to ask a carpenter about the law to test him. You know what that means. It means I know something you don't know. And whatever you say, I'm going to be able to argue it because I'm a lawyer. That's what I do. So Jesus answers him this. Verse 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, he asked him which one was the greatest. He told him, this is the first and the greatest. But then he stopped there. He said, and there's number two, too. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, you wasted your time getting this law degree you have because I could have told you, love God, love people, that's the end. Love God, love people, that's it. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. These two, on these two, hang everything else. If you get these two, you got the rest. So what does Jesus say? I got one commandment for you. A new command. That you love one another the way I loved you. And later on he says, no greater love has any man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. That he would lay down his life for his friends. Amen? Amen. So what does wisdom have to do with this? He that wins souls is wise. The greatest level of love is to reunite people to God. So how are we going to love? How are we going to love? See, what the enemy is going to try to always do is get us to do the opposite of what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He's going to try to get us to wait for love to pursue us. So my bargain with the Lord, or my reasoning with myself, walking past this young man. If he looks at me, then I will do this. My own selfishness getting revealed in something as simple as opening up and speaking. See, what happened is God revealed me. He revealed me to me. But then I'll be open enough to reveal myself to you because I know that we're the same. We're all fighting the same battle. We're all fighting the same adversary. We're fighting the same thing that wants to get you not to speak. wants to get you not to pour out and sow the love of God into somebody else's life. He wants to get you to not speak and tell what you've been taught of the Lord, not to give other people what God has given you, not to pour out the Spirit of God. He wants to get you not to exercise your faith to see people not the way they are, but for what God wants to make them to be. He wants you to get you shut down so that you judge everything by the flesh and not by the Spirit where everything begins. That's the enemy's trick. That's his goal for us, is to get us so caught into the flesh, get us so caught into this flesh that we can't use the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God requires us to see it in revelation and grab it and bring it to manifestation. Real quickly, Tony, let's go to the beginning. Let's pull up the slide on the cycle. I want you to see this. I want you to have a visual about this. I want you to be thinking about this. So when we bring in spiritual growth happens. How does it happen? It always begins with knowledge, and then it moves to revelation. In other words, I knew the Bible, but I couldn't do anything with it until God revealed it to me. Till the Spirit revealed the Bible to me. Then the passages that I've been talking about and criticizing Christians for and telling them that stuff is not real, it wasn't real to me until I could get a revelation of it. Then when it was revealed and I understood it, not here, but understood it on the inside, then I was able to grasp it. And once I grasp it, it's my responsibility to use wisdom to apply it to my life. So the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but would have everlasting life. That's what it says. They made me memorize it when I was a child, but I didn't believe it because it's stuck up here. It ain't in here. And then one day, after I'm acting a fool, and somebody speaks a word to me, and that same thing that I didn't understand before all of a sudden was revealed. It's real. But now, just because it's real, I can let the moment pass or I can grasp it. And so I grasped it and I said, yes, I received Christ. And I received it. And the manifestation was I was saved by faith. And then I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden that revelation was just passing by me, just like the other times God has sent revelation past me by all the other people who were trying to preach to me, all the other people who were trying to tell me that God is real, all the other people, all that was passing by. But once I could grasp it, now a manifestation happens. Now a manifestation happens. What happened? I got saved. Now what's next? The Holy Spirit starts ministering to me and showing me more things in the Word. He starts showing me that Not only are you saved, but it's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that lives in you. The life you used to live, you don't live anymore. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So all of a sudden I said, hey, my life is not my own. Wait a minute, this is not my life. I'm living God's life. And then all of a sudden he gave me another passage. He said, Book of Colossians. He said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord, giving thanks to the Father in him. So wait a minute. I can't keep lagging on my job like I was. I got to work as unto the Lord. This is worship for me. If I work like I'm supposed to work, this will be worship. And I started working, and I started working. And all of a sudden, then the next thing that happened is God's word revealed again. A man's gift to make room for him and bring him before great men. And because now I'm not working like I'm working for the man, now I'm working like I'm working as unto the God. Now my gifts are starting to be seen, and they're making room for me. So next thing I knew, I had a phone call. Come up here. We want you to take this new job. Wait a minute. I work in the mailroom. You're not supposed to know I'm here. But the word starts speaking. And when we grab the wisdom and we use the word, it brings its own fruit. It starts to continue to bring its own fruit. Amen? Amen. Love will be shown when we start to move ourselves out of us and begin with loving God and then let the love of God pour out in loving people. The more we love God, the more God's going to start giving us a compassion for people. He will start giving us more and more of a deeper compassion for people. And this church, we're going to love, because when God gave us, what did he give us? He gave us that we're supposed to walk in love, but we're also supposed to make disciples. And we can't really fulfill love until we're really making disciples, until we're really focused on how do we pass the word of God on to people? How do we share out of our hearts to other people? How do we start growing people and building people in our lives? You might say, man, but I need somebody to build me up. Praise the Lord. We're going to build each other up too, but we're going to not stop with us. We're going to reach out past us. So we're going to go outreach a couple weeks. We're going to outreach to people who don't have a home. And guess what? They'll be very receptive. You know why? Because they didn't run out. They run out of the flesh. The more challenging will be the next level. We got to talk to people who got stuff. Amen? See, if I don't have nothing and you bring me something, praise the Lord. I'm glad you showed up. Man, praise the Lord. People who got something start believing in they something. But you know what? I'm a fisher of men, so I ain't scared of you. I'm not scared. I got bait for you, too. The man told us a story. He said he was on a boat, and he's got a guy from Louisiana in the boat with him. The guy said, man, yeah, back in down Louisiana, we fish all the time. So they out in the boat in California. You ain't in Louisiana. You in California. So he's putting his stuff out there. He's catching stuff. Guy from Louisiana is over there telling him how to catch fish. He said he ain't got nothing. He said he's spitting on worms and doing everything else. He said, but he ain't catching nothing. Because you ain't it. You're not in Louisiana. You got to catch fish in California. You can't use what you used over there over here. And I can't use mine over there. So we got to learn from each other and hear from each other, because there's nobody off limits. Nobody off limits. Amen? Amen. So turn to your neighbor and say, I love so much. And I'm so wise that I am a fisher of men. I catch them in the river. I catch them in the sea. I catch them in a pond. And I'll catch them in the ocean. I catch them anywhere. I catch little minnows, and I catch a swordfish. I ain't scared of nothing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray, and the biggest thing I want everybody to take away from this is wisdom is manifested through the operation of our faith. And our faith needs to be turned toward God's glory. And God's glory includes us, and it includes people outside the walls. Amen? Now that's our worship team going up, so.